As we've been reporting, President Obama recently issued an executive order on cybersecurity. It's had a lot of ramifications. Yesterday was a big listening session, and from that listening session, two central themes emerged. The first one was that collaboration has to underlie the entire process to create the cybersecurity framework. But it was the second theme that's going to set the path forward for how that cyber framework will be developed by and for critical infrastructure providers. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller is here with details on the emerging roadmap to implement the cyber executive order. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so what was that second theme, and how is it going to set the path forward?
I think the big second theme that really emerged throughout the entire day yesterday was all about risk management. And not just risk management, we hear about this all the time, but really the idea of risk management in terms of how it's ingrained as part of what every company does. And the framework really has got to move beyond just the basic idea of, well, we got to just manage risk. I mean, we hear that time and again, and it gets a little trite maybe. So Terry Rice is the Associate Vice President for IT Risk Management and the Chief Information Security Officer for Merck. He says the pharmaceutical company has an enterprise risk management plan looking at the top 10 to 12 risks that impact the company. Rice says cybersecurity has become an integral part of that risk discussion.
But one of the problems that we struggle with is, and it was alluded to briefly, was what's the measure of success? Security is not a binary. It's not you're secure, you're not secure. And so we struggle to determine precisely where we should be making investments. And it's not just within IT. It's also within, if I have a dollar, do I spend it on research on Alzheimer's or cancer or some other affliction, or do I spend it on protecting my information and systems? And I think part of the discourse and hopefully part of the cybersecurity framework will be to look at metrics where we can benchmark, where we can measure ourselves. And I'm not talking about the thousands of metrics that we have at the tactical level today, but how do those chain together to answer questions about risk that will allow us to make those decisions about where we make our investments.
You heard him discuss the idea of, well, do we invest a dollar in cancer research or a dollar in cybersecurity? I mean, it seems like a pretty easy discussion, a pretty easy answer there. But that's a big issue many companies face, the economic piece. And the government can't lose sight over the economic costs of cybersecurity as companies are being told or being voluntarily pushed to implement controls and procedures. Michael Pepe is the Vice President for Information Security and Cyber Initiatives at Northrop Grumman Information Systems. He says the tug of war between those economic costs and risk is something Northrop and really every company does face. He uses this example to highlight it. If Northrop's data is not secure, then neither is the government's or their partners such as Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Raytheon, and a host of other companies. And of course, the opposite's true as well. If one of Northrop's partners is not secure, they don't secure their systems, their data, then Northrop's data is not secure either. So Pepe says this critical set of controls has to balance both those economic factors and the risk and cyber factors.
But Jason, how are the other industries that are concerned here with the cybersecurity order handling this? Because there is a sense that many of the electrical or water or other utilities and critical infrastructure providers haven't done a lot of work in this realm.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. There is that sense or that last perception that's out there. At least that's what the government wants people to think. And I know that kind of riles a lot of people in those communities saying, of course we're doing something. If we didn't do anything, could you imagine how really bad things would be? And I think that the second panel of the day, which featured several members from the different critical infrastructure information systems, information sharing analysis centers called ISACs, described really what steps they're taking. Deborah Kobza is the executive director and CEO of the National Health Information Sharing Analysis Center. She says the health ISAC has been looking at the cyber from an all-hazards perspective.
We're working with the health sector and have put in place a national cybersecurity council that has both public and private health sector stakeholders on that council. And we're implementing a national health care and public health cyber response framework. And what that is doing is looking at cybersecurity as it impacts the health sector, you know, with the High Tech Act and cybersecurity around medical devices, the networks that are being put in place out there to generate electronic health records and personal health information across the nation is like a patchwork quilt. So you can imagine the security challenges and issues that we have in that, putting those type of infrastructures in place.
Now, Kobza says the goal is to understand how physical and cyber incidents impact each other and how best to train and deal with those attacks. In fact, she says, and I thought this was fascinating, the health industry has been one of the highest, seen the highest number of data breaches and attacks over the last few years than any other industry. I was a little surprised by that one. Now, one of the other ISACs, the water ISAC, is also facing this. Michael, we'll get his name right on this time, I promise. Arsenio, he is the deputy executive director, and he said they recently signed an MOU with the Homeland Security Department to improve the information sharing and cyber threat information. But he says right now, he goes, listen, not many people are attacking the water. And he kind of uses it as a joke, but he said the water system has been fairly unaffected by cybersecurity so far. Now, the other issue that's come up is whether the current set of standards are enforceable. You know, there's a lot of debate around that as well, whether it's by the government or some kind of market force. Tim Roxy is the director of the Electricity Sector Information Sharing Analysis Center. He also works as the chief cybersecurity officer for the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, or NERC. He says NERC oversees what they call an ANSI-certified processes that include more than 1,100 requirements for physical and cyber reliability.
It is the largest collaboratively developed by industry, mandatory and enforceable body of standards on the planet. Think about that. It's developed by the people who have to implement it. Oh, and a whole lot of other people who are just interested in standards. They don't necessarily have an electric footprint. They're just interested. All of these people develop these standards in a collaborative environment. Some would say it's not enforceable. Some would say it's not mandatory. We have heard this over and over again from many people over the last several years. Nay, nay, I say, it is enforceable. The voluntary standards, I heard earlier today, standard settings is not a federal thing, but I'll tell you what, the enforceability and the backstopping of that enforceability is very much a federal thing. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission is the ultimate federal authority backstopping the FERC, NERC, SIP, industry-developed standard.
Now, Roxy says NERC also has a robust information-sharing effort already underway. They do assessments of how well this ISAC functions and how well people share information back to them. Now, Roxy says because of these standards, industry now has common languages that cross into the physical security world as well. Now, these are just a few examples of what's going on already. The question is it enough? Can more be done? I think those are among the questions NIST is trying to answer in the next 7 months.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. All right, so there's this framework to be developed. What comes next? How do they go about actually doing this?
Well, the workshop yesterday in the Department of Commerce that NIST sponsored was the first of actually four listening sessions with industry to discuss how to create this cybersecurity framework. Throughout the discussion was featured panelists from government and a wide assortment of industry. Many people talked about, you know, the collaboration. It's got to be inclusive of everybody. Patrick Gallagher is the director of NIST. He says other listening sessions will happen in May, July, and September in preparation for that draft framework, which is due in October.
Our initial plan is to organize along three main topic areas: managing risk, cyber hygiene, and tools and metrics. This is because, based on what we've heard already from our stakeholders in government and industry, these are the pieces that will be critical. How do we prepare for the evolving threat? What are the core practices that should be considered regardless of your organization and mission? And what are the tools and techniques to support those goals? As we do this analysis with industry, we will be looking both to existing standards and sector-specific guidance that already exist, with an eye to working beyond the year envisioned by the executive order. In other words, we view this as being an ongoing process, a living document. So what are the principles that apply across sectors? What are the gaps that we will need to fill collaboratively with our partners in government and industry? How do we develop a process and a governance model to allow industry to continue to take leadership in this cybersecurity framework?
So NIST also released the request for information about a month ago to help shape this framework. The responses are due Monday, so time is running short if you want to get your thoughts in there. Gallagher says the framework development effort will not likely break new ground. It's really going to depend on existing standards. But to be successful, the framework has got to find that right balance between business and security, which goes back, I think, to the earlier conversation we've had around the economics of cybersecurity. So just kind of the big takeaway from all of this is yesterday was one step in a long marathon. We'll get a better sense, I think, by mid to late summer about how involved, how excited industry is, and in terms of whether the framework is really going to have an effect, or is it going to be one of those things where a few strong souls are going to push it through, but the broader industry is going to be like, yeah, we've heard this before.
All right. The long saga. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And keep us posted. You can find Jason's story with more details, federalnewsradio.com.